I'm just curious, anybody know what follows that considered pure joy off the top of your head? Exactly. Guess what we're talking about, folks? Yay! Woo! Let's talk about suffering. Let's talk about pain in the Christian walk. Let's talk about the struggles that we face. So today is going to be a bit different, maybe a bit raw, because we're looking at how God moves through tough times, through the trials, through the struggles, through the persecution, through the suffering in the life of a believer. And although it's not a very popular topic, it is a universal topic, isn't it? Anybody here walking with the Lord, and even though you love Jesus, even though you're reading your Bible, you still have gone through some really bad, exactly. It's universal, isn't it? And it's, and you know, because every beloved child of God goes through these times of difficulty, these times of trials. The situations are extremely hard, and they're uncomfortable, and they're unpleasant, and they're even, in some cases, unfair. But, and I'm also, and I want to be very mindful, because there are many probably here who you might be in the middle of the battle, in the heat of the battle, in the middle of the storm, and you're in a very difficult situation, and you've prayed your prayers until you ran out of things to pray for. You've cried your tears until the tears stopped, and you cried some more, and you might be in it right now. And I want to be very sensitive to you. I want to be, because it is a challenging time, and I know that you don't need pious platitudes. You don't need kind of trite Christian sayings and like motivational posters. And you don't need, you know, some people may be well-meaning, but, you know, you don't need those dismissive statements from other believers that actually help them to avoid grappling with the theological questions that you're going through right now. You need answers. You need strength. You need deliverance, not just reprieve, but you need the grace to stand, the strength to stand another day. This message is for you. And if you're not there, this message is for where you will be shortly. And my prayer this morning is that you will receive the grace of God. You will receive that grace that is sufficient, the encouragement that is real, that is relevant, and the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit will strengthen you today. So I want you to leave here differently than you are now. So to that end, I like this scripture. The God of all comfort comforts us in our trials, that we may comfort others in the trials that they go through. And at the end of the service, we're going to be doing something different. So we're going to open this up for prayer. I've asked a few people to help me pray for people. Because if you're in it, let's pray. Let's pray for the deliverance. Let's pray that God will move. Because I want you to know, you don't have to fight alone. If you're in the trial, come up for prayer. You know, it's interesting because Beck and I, you'll often see us up here praying for people. And sometimes we wonder why, when the offer of prayer and having somebody stand with you and seeing what God can do, why don't more people come up? Knowing statistically that people are going through, you got the economy, you got mortgage rates, you got, you know, all this what stuff. Why don't more people come up for prayer? I don't know. Maybe they don't believe it's going to make a difference. Maybe they're embarrassed. But I want you to know, there is no shame up here, okay? Because if you know, Becky and I are up here praying for people and then getting prayed for as much, you know, very many times, there's no shame here. There's no embarrassment here, but there is an opportunity to stand together in prayer. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The Bible talks about asking the elders, if you're sick, come up and get prayed for. And I want to encourage you, don't leave the same way you came in. If you're struggling, if you need encouragement, if, you know, we'll pray for you and we'll just see what God does. It's not me that's magical. It's not the people who pray for you that are magical. No, we serve a miracle-working God. And if you need strength, if you need encouragement, I want to encourage you to come up for prayer. Don't leave with the same burden you came with. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me who are heavy laden. So I want to encourage you. We're going to have that time in the evening. Oh, sorry, in the evening. I'm not going that long. Well, after the service. And can you do me a favor? We're also going to try something different in that as often, because I want to allow a space for people to pray and let God do what He can do, only He can do. So if you're not going to stay for prayer, just and you're going to go, have a cup of tea, coffee, then we have some nice watermelon, some other stuff back there I saw. Can you just go out the back that way to get to it? Can you do that for me? And let's just see what God can do. So I also want to give you some resources. So everybody get your phones out. I'm going to share. So get your phones out. Come on, everybody, get your phones out, because you might, after the sermon, want to dig deeper. So I'm going to give you some stuff, free resources. Everybody loves free resources, okay? So this is a great book. It's called God, Where Are You? By John Brevere. A great book. And you know what? You can even listen to the audiobook for free on the Auckland Library app. The Auckland Library has an app. You can listen to this book for free. It's only 5 hours, so you can probably knock it out in your weekly commute. All right? So that's a really good book. It was so good, I listened to it twice, and I told people about it. So, God, Where Are You? It's a really great book about if you're going through trials, when you're going through suffering, you're saying, God, why is this happening? God, this isn't fair. A great book. Other great resources. Now, YouTube. We love, YouTube University, YouTube Theological Center. A great sermon called Taking Back Control of Your Life by David Wilkerson. That's free on YouTube. Anybody know who David Wilkerson is? Cross of the Switchblade, founder of Teen Challenge and Times Square Church. Great sermon to listen to. Really encouraging. And then another one by Tony Evans, Why God Gives You the Ability to Face Difficulties. Another great sermon. Take a photo of that. Listen to it on YouTube. And the current pastor of Times Square Church, Tim Delina, is doing a series on prayer. And these are two great sermons that will encourage you in praying for stuff. Okay? Praying for to get through. Everybody got that one? Righty. See, this isn't it good that the sermon doesn't have to end? Just keep on, keep on watching stuff and growing. So dig deeper this week in that. Also, here's some references. I'll be, alluding to them or quoting them. But, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God, that is our weapon. The Bible refers to that in Ephesians chapter 6 as the sword of the Spirit with which we actually take the battle to the enemy. And some more scriptures. There's probably lots more you could probably find. But those are the ones. All right? So we got our resources. We have our homework. Should we get into the message? James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. It's one thing to sing the songs about God creating new wine and in the crushing and in the... But when we're in it, it's not easy to consider it pure joy, is it? No, it's hard. And this is... It's not easy, but it's part of our growth as a Christian. And it's not easy because our natural tendency is to focus on the problem, isn't it? It's amazing that when a problem comes, a bad diagnosis or a letter from the bank you really don't want to read, or the interest rates or the problems at the office, or the prodigal child leaving, saying, I don't want any of this, the wayward child, it's so easy for us to focus on the problem. That's our natural tendency. But and so we can think to ourselves, God, this is I didn't sign up for this. God, this isn't right. This isn't fair. God, I've been faithful. God, I'm serving you. I'm reading your word. I'm tithing. I'm praying. I'm following you the best of my ability. This isn't right. And we can focus on the problem. But the thing is that this is actually the challenge. So it's not easy, but it is actually a shift in our thinking to an eternal perspective, seeing God in the storm. Because this is not denying the trials. It doesn't say whenever you face pretend trials. These are real trials. These are real things that are happening. So please hear my heart. I am not, this message in no way tries to dismiss or pretend or kind of lessen the fact that these are very real challenges, right? But it's recognizing God in the trial, that in the pain, in the suffering, in the challenge, in the persecution, God is still sovereign. God is still good. And that through the test, God will get the glory, and God will not abandon me. God will work through this to strengthen, to purify, to bring the mature, make us mature, complete, and not lacking anything. So that's one thing, is that this is actually, we're not denying it, but we're recognizing that this part of the maturing process is a shift in our perspective, the shift in actually living by faith, not by sight. Another thing I see here is that, consider it pure joy. Who's he talking to?
My brothers and sisters.
That this is addressed to Christians, brothers and sisters, and it's not if a trial happens to you. What does it say? Whenever. When. Not if, but when. And I think sometimes we get in this mindset that, if you're going through a terrible time and the bad news is coming in and you're getting trials and tribulations, whatever they are, that we get this idea that, oh, if I just read the Bible more, if I just prayed more, if I just went to church more, if I just sang louder, if I just put more money in the offering plate, if I just did fill in the blank, then this wouldn't be happening to me. If I was just a better Christian, I would not be dealing with this stuff. But that's not what he's saying, is it? This is a trial. These challenges, and I know that many here are going through challenges right now, and so please hear my heart. God is still good. God will work through this to grow and to strengthen and to make us mature, more complete. And it's not a punishment. It's not God being mean, some cruel joke. But this is the stretching. This is the growing. This is that new wine song we were talking about. But it is the stretching, the growing, the good work to prepare us for the next level that God has for us, the next level of the deeper faith, the deeper walk with Him, hearing Him more clearly, trusting Him more. So the other thing about this is that some of these trials, some of these things happen, that some challenges, some testing only comes, some maturity, some growth only comes through trials, only comes through stretching. An example that you probably, many parents here can relate to is last year we helped our son go to Charlotte, North Carolina because he wants to be in the motorsport industry. We know nobody in North Carolina. We got no friends, no family, no connections, but we knew that's where, if he wanted to go in his career, that's where he needed to be. And so the challenge we had with that is that we recognize that God, I know that if he's going to become that mature, independent, self-sufficient adult, he's got to go through this sink or swim exercise where he has to make it happen, where he has to rely on you. That's the pathway to the growth that he needs. Any parents relate to that? Now, what we also didn't realize is that in sending our child around the world, God also did a work in Beck and I of trusting the parent, that can always be a better parent than us, trusting God's grace to open the doors and to protect him. Some challenges, some strengthening, some growth only comes through struggle. And it might be that if you know, that faith that you've been praying for, that God, I want to see your miracles in my life that you've been praying for, that trust that you've been praying for, it might be through the challenge, through the trials. So, a couple more examples to drive this home. The Bible refers to God as a silversmith, doesn't he? He talks about purifying and refining. What is the tool that the silversmith uses to refine the silver?
Fire.
Heat in a furnace. Not a pleasant thing, is it? Doesn't sound like it. But the God uses these challenges to refine us. He is the silversmith. And a silversmith knows the right amount of heat, just the right amount of heat. Too much heat, and it will destroy the precious metal. Not enough heat, and the impurities don't break up and rise to the surface where you can remove them. God knows exactly how much heat we need, how much time in the furnace we need. And he knows that the refining is complete when the silversmith looks into the silver and sees his own reflection. God knows. You may not know, God, how long is this trial going to go on? What's happening? I don't understand it. God knows. And God loves us enough that he, in his mercy and his wisdom, he knows exactly how much stretching we can take, exactly how much heat is required, how much shaping and molding is required, how much time in the furnace is required to get us to the place where we better reflect his character, his personality, his glory. We can trust God in the fire and his refinement process to do good work in us. It's not easy. It's not fun. But it's for his glory and to make us mature and complete, not lacking anything. Another more fun example. How does the military get from scrawny, undisciplined, untrained recruits to feared, battle-hardened, battle-tested, battle-ready warriors? How do you get from scrawny to strong? That. Training, training, and more training. Push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, being yelled at, it's very hard, it's sweaty, it's difficult, it's unpleasant. They push them to the edge, and they push through the absolute limits. But that is how they are prepared for the battle ahead. That's how the military can know they will be victorious against the enemies they face, because we have pushed them, we have strengthened them, we have put them in situations that are challenging, and they have grown and they have been disciplined, and now they are ready for the battle. It's uncomfortable, it's unpleasant, but exactly what they need to become what they need to be. And that's how they get there. So God loves us enough to put us through the strength training, to get us ready to serve and be victorious for the battles ahead. Would you rather go into a battle before or after the training? And you're very grateful for the training once, and you're in the battle, aren't you? God is good, and he loves us enough to not leave us where we are, and to put us through those situations just enough that we grow, that we are purified, that we are strengthened and ready for the next stage. So this is interesting. So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So what kind of strength training and preparation comes from such trials? What kind of strength comes through this? What are the benefits? What does it happen? So a little disclaimer. I don't pretend to be able to articulate all the many ways that God moves, all right? He doesn't play chess. He plays 3D chess about a billion different times, billion different ways. Isaiah 55 says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than your ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. But what I want to do is share some examples of how God moved, and this idea of God using the trials and testing to grow his people. right? So, probably hard to see there. That's actually a picture of the Egyptian army. So, in this, so we all know the story of the Red Sea, right? You know, before this happened, God actually told Moses to tell the people, and he did, saying that I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, I'm going to send him after you, but I've got this. I will deliver you from them. I will glorify myself through the situation. So the Israelites are all, yay, God's going to do something awesome. He's going to send the Egyptians, and you know. But then, so they had the promise, but then, before they saw that, they saw this. Here comes Pharaoh and all of his armies, and they are not happy. They're going to come, and so they just went from faith to fear, because all they saw was Pharaoh's army. Their backs were against the Red Sea. All they saw was the Egyptian army and no way of escape. And what do they do? Moses, you bring me here to die. Well, not enough graves in Egypt, right? But God, in his mercy, as he already told them, but then in verse 13 of Exodus 14, he reassured them, and he said, Moses answers people to stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Isn't that interesting? And God, listen, you may be in a situation. You may know the promises of God. You may have either the written promises or maybe a prophetic word that you know is from the Lord for the situation, but you don't see it yet. And you might be kind of like the Israelites saying, God, you know, fear, fear, fear. But isn't God good? That even in that, God is gracious and reminds his people, I've got this. Stand firm, I've got this. And you know the story, so God showed up as only he can, and he parted the Red Sea and provided the way of escape. And in verse 31 says this, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and his servant Moses. God through the Red Sea moment. When does God show up with miracles? When they're needed. Right, you know, God, show me your power, show me your deliverance, show me. He did when they needed it. And it was through that they went from fear and worst case and God, you know, God's abandoned us, or why is this happening, to now I see the glory of God. Now I trust him even more. Like Job, Job chapter 42, Job said, I had heard of your great works, but now I have seen them. It's a shift that God, through these challenges, makes himself more real to us and makes the deliverance more real to us when we go from the, I heard about it, I've sung about it, I've heard other testimonies about it, but now, God, you've gotten me through the fire. Now, God, you've gotten me through the challenge. Now, God, I've seen you miraculously move how nobody else could. I've seen the goodness of God, and now I know. That's the strengthening that God does through challenge. Another example, boldness. Anybody pray, God, make me bold? God, make me bold witness. God, help me to trust you and to be strong in you. Well, some examples there. Daniel in the lion's den, he knew that his enemies had set a trap, because the only thing they could get him on is his faithfulness to God. And so they set a trap for him. And he said, I know it's a trap. I know they want to kill me, and I know that revocable law that they would just put in there is that anybody who prays not to Nebuchadnezzar but to another god will be thrown in the lion's den. What did Daniel do anyway? He prayed anyway. He said, I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to trust you, no matter if I lose my life, no matter if I lose my job, no matter if I, you know, get you know, whatever the cost, I'm going to keep up. I'm going to keep doing what I know God wants me to do. That came through the fire. Another example I like of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about this. They were godly Israelites who were taken into captive into Babylon, and all Babylon was there. So all of their fellow Jews who shouldn't be bowing either, but they were the only three who stood. They didn't see the deliverance first. What did they see? A very angry king, a very hot furnace, and everybody else going along with the crowd. And listen to what they said, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. They replied to Nebuchadnezzar, who actually gave him a second chance. They said, nope, we're not going to bow second time. Do as many times as you want, we're not going to bow. They said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But listen to this, verse 18. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Boldness comes when it is called upon. Think about that. God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow. God can save my job from whatever, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to compromise what God has called me to do. I'm not going to compromise the truth of the gospel. I'm not going to compromise who God is and my relationship with him to please anybody. God can save us, but even if he doesn't, I will serve him. Because that boldness, that trust, that dedication and lordship came and was demonstrated and strengthened in the battle. Another example, he gives us the grace to bear through and stand fast. Because, you know, the truth is that sometimes God does the miracle to save us. Sometimes the miracle is that we actually get through it, through the other side. And so Stephen, he was the first martyr in the gospel, in chapter Acts. He was the first martyr who died for Christ. But he died glorifying God. He died faithful to God. He died actually, seeing heaven open and saying, God, please forgive them. And one of the witnesses of that was the soon-to-be apostle Paul. And speaking of Paul, so he didn't have an easy life either, but it was God's grace. God, through the trial, strengthened him. Here's from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, some of the stuff that Paul went through. He says, 5 times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I mean, who would just give up? I'd probably give up after like the first beating, not, 5 times. Of all this stuff, I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger of the sea, and in danger from false believers. God gave him strength through the challenge, in the battle. And eventually he was martyred. God, but that lordship, that God, I will serve you whatever. God, even if everybody else bows, I will not bow. God, even if it costs me my life, my wealth, whatever that is, I will not bow. I am going to serve you, God. That strengthening comes through these challenging times. Another thing. Unexplainable peace despite circumstances. I don't have a pretty picture for this one, but I have some really good scriptures. It's in the storm that we find the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's when we have to really cling to God when all else fails and we're saying, God, this, I need you. I need to find your peace. I can't go on without your touch. Yeah, how do we get there? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You don't have to be told to rejoice in the good times, do you? It's in the tough times. And it's in those tough times when we're barely holding on, and it's just really challenging that we have to lean into God's grace. And we say, God, I need your grace to stand. And that's where we dig in and find the release of our struggles into God's grace and God's goodness. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will do what? Can I just tell you that's hard for me? That has been, Bex and I have been going through some challenges, as we all do in our walk with God. But more recently, we're saying, okay, God, how, in this trial that we're going through, in this difficult situation we're facing, how do I not be anxious about anything? How do I receive that peace that transcends all understanding? And it's very hard, but it's in the trials, in the testing, we realize what is in our control and what is out of our control, right? And by releasing and saying, okay, God, this is too big for me to handle. I cannot, you know, I can put my house in the market and clean it up and make it look nice and tidy, but you're the real estate agent. You know how to bring the right buyer. You can look for a job. God, I need finances. God, I need, but you say, well, okay, but only you can go for as many interviews and do your prepping and stuff like that and do your responsibility. But ultimately, God is it's in God's hands, isn't it? Who hires you and what goes on. And so that peace that transcends all understanding, it's in the trials and the testing that we realize what is in our control and what's not. And we realize, God, this is too big for me. God, this is a burden I cannot carry. How much of our worry, how much of our anxiety is about things that we cannot control? The wayward child. I often pray for people who I know, if you're praying for your, child, I'm praying along with you. And oftentimes I pray, God, look, we can only do, we can be salt and light and we can encourage and we can share. But you know what I pray for those they've heard the gospel, but yet they're away from God. I pray, God, when they're laying in their bed, the TV is off, the phone is down, and they're alone with their thoughts, God, speak to them. God, bring up those questions that only you are the answer to. God, move in the ways that only you can. I can't change my daughter's mind, but you can meet her in her innermost thoughts. I can't control the economy, but God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. God, I can only do so much, but God, I choose. God, help me to not be anxious, right? Ask God for help. God, help me not to be anxious. God, give me that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's through these challenges that you learn to do that. Through these challenges, you learn to release what is out of our control into God's control. Because he is amazing at working behind, as the song we sang, even when we don't see him working, he's working. And God, give me the trust in this trial to know that you're working, even though I can't see it. Kind of another good scripture I like, and this has been another kind of comfort to us lately, Psalm 112, 6 through 7. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. Isn't that a good promise? Mm-hmm. It may seem like all the storms and all the battles and all the bad things are coming your way, but surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast. Why? Because they're trusting in the Lord. I think too many people trust in, oh, well, if we get this government in, then that will fix this. Or if this happens, this job comes about, this sale, whatever it is. But our hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord, because it is in his character that our hearts are secure and have no fear. And it's in these challenging times that we learn about his character, that even in the storm, even in this fire, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They'll have no fear of bad news because they're firmly anchored in the truth of who God is. We trust his promises, but we also trust his character. God, I don't know how this is going to shake out. I don't know whether I'm going to be taken in the furnace or you're going to get me out of it. But either way, I trust that you are good. And I trust that you, as the great silversmith, know exactly how much heat I can take. I trust, God, that your character, that you are good, that you love me, you keep your promises, that God, I trust you, that if you're leading me through it, then I can get through it because you are with me. God loves us enough. He is not there standing at the safety of the shore when we're in the middle of a storm in the ocean. He's in the boat with us. God, I trust that you are in the boat with me. God, I trust that this is what you want, that you're working good. I trust Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I trust that you are moving through this situation to grow me. I don't like it. It's not enjoyable. And yes, I still pray, God, please stop it as soon as you can. But I trust you that so do you see what I'm saying? You can release it. You say, these are things that are out of my control. God, I trust you. Whether you know, with financial problems. You know, even I trust God. I know that you can bring manna from heaven, and you can bring money from wherever. But even if I lose my house, even if this happens, I trust you because I know that even through that, you are good. You have me. You love me. We trust in, and that's where this is so important to me, because it says they have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast because they trust in the Lord. They know that his character is good. They know he loves us. They know that God moves even when we don't see it. And I know that I will come out the other side, mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Church, God is good. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't understand it, even when you say, God, I didn't sign up for this. God, this isn't fair. God, I don't know why this is happening. Trust. Let your heart be steadfast. But God, I trust you. But God, my heart trusts you. And I know that you will do this for me. So, finally, so how can we find strength and joy in the trials of many kinds? Again, this is a growth thing. Oh, sorry, I can't see that well, but those scriptures will be also in the one I had earlier. You know, what we realize is that this training, this stretching, it's a spiritual battle in itself. It's the battle to let God, to trust God, and let him do the work that he is doing. And so it's a battle, and we need to keep fighting. And we don't have time to go into it today, but Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the weapons of our warfare are not of this world, but they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and how we fight, how we fight. And so what we pray is that we're fighting, one, the situation, right, the struggle, right? But we're also kind of fighting, okay, God, but God, give me the grace to get through this. Give me the grace to stand another day. God, complete the work that you're doing in my heart in this. And so we fight that. It's a spiritual warfare, and we must fight the battle. And it's the same, if you're fighting something externally or fighting something internally, it's the same weapons, isn't it? Pray and keep on praying, okay? Well, Chris, that's kind of obvious. Yeah, but how often do we forget? How often do we think, oh, I've run out of prayers to pray. I just don't know what to pray anymore. This continues on. You know, the good news is that even in the parable of the persistent widow, God says, keep praying. Keep praying. You know, when people come up here for prayer and they want healing or whatever the need is, it doesn't happen automatically sometimes. So we say, come up next week. Let's keep seeking God for this. Let's keep praying for this. Let's, you know, it's not a one and done thing. And as we pray, God actually changes us, and God actually does a work in us as well. So pray and keep on praying. Because God, I love the scripture that says Psalm 34, 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. He leans in to say, oh, I think David's praying. Oh, I think Ross is praying. Oh, I want to hear that. God is good. His ears are attentive. He wants to welcome us. Even if you don't know what to pray. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6 also talks, he calls it the sword of the Spirit and the armor of God, and stand firm then, and after having done all, to stand, pray in the Spirit always. Keep praying. When you don't know what to pray, keep praying. And the Word of God, Luke chapter 1, verse 31 says, the Word of the Lord will not fail. The Word of the Lord will not fail. That no matter how many, I think it's 2 Corinthians, no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. And through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of the Father. What has God promised you? What does God's word says? What does God's word say about the situation? Or about his general characteristics? God, your word says you are my provider. God, your word says that all these things will work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to purpose. God, your word says that you care about me. God, your word says that Lord, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. That I've given you the authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. The Word of God will not fail. Get in the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Use that as your weapon. And the character of God, which we've already spoken about. God, I trust you. God, you know, even if I'm not as familiar with your Word, I know that you're good. I trust your character. I trust that you love me. I trust that nothing will happen to me that does not first go through my Father's hands. I trust that you are the refiner that gives me just enough to grow me, to make me better. And also, the people of God. Listen, as I said earlier, you don't have to fight alone. All the hands that went up that said, yeah, I've been through a trial, I've been through a battle, I've seen God get me through that. Isn't it good that we don't have to fight alone? You know, as Christians, we're blessed to be a blessing. We are comforted to comfort others. And that in the early church, we see the community where they prayed for each other. They supported each other, you know, physically and spiritually and practically. And isn't it good to know that as a body of believers, even that going through this difficult situation, you can be surrounded by faithful brothers and sisters who you know are praying for you, who you know, well, you can get wise counsel from, right? Be careful who you listen to. Look for the wise counsel, right? But also, and this is what I found in the struggles in the past, because oftentimes the challenges I went through, nobody had the answer for me, right? Nobody could give me the job I needed. But you know what? Just being able to talk is an incredible blessing. That just being able to a listening ear. So don't do it alone. And let's fight the battle together. And God, that God will give us the strength to see the trial through. That God will fight the battle for us. And the people of God. And that's why I want to again encourage. If you're going through something, come up and pray. Because we'll pray with you now. We'll pray through the week. And you'll just be amazed at the support of Christian other believers who love God, who may have been through something similar, or can just be a listening ear and a prayer partner. Another great scripture, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. God is good. God is trustworthy. And so, Dale, come on up, and I'm going to have a few other people help me pray, Sue and the Frasers and Ray. And so can I ask this? If you want prayer, let's see what God can do. Let's just see. You know, let's pray and say, God, what do you want to do in this situation? God, I need that strength. I need the grace to get through. I need to know that you are with me and not against me. I need strength to go another day, and I need the answer to the situation. Don't leave the same way you came in. Don't leave with that same burden. Come up for prayer. There's nothing, you know, we do it all the time. This is how God works. You know, this is how the church works. We pray for each other. We love each other. All right? So if we can do that. So Dale's going to start spreading some music. If you don't want to stick around for prayer, can you please go out the back doors to get to the refreshments, and we'll join you there shortly, okay? So whoever wants to come up, and we'll just worship God, okay? And pray.